words of wisdom, a saint's love for God,
will be presented in French and English, with subtitles in Arabic, Olaxis or Vietnamese, Chinese, English, French, German, Hebrew, Hindi, Hungarian, Indonesian, Italian,
Japanese,
Korean, Persian, Polish, Portuguese, Punjabi, Romanian, Russian, Spanish, Thai, Urdu, and Turkish. Connue pour sa déclaration des droits de l'homme et du citoyen, la France est un pays qui a mis en avant les principes de liberté, d'égalité et de fraternité. Le peuple français a bon cœur et est bien connu pour accueillir les immigrants venus chercher un foyer. La nation française a eu une influence positive sur de nombreux pays à travers sa législation et son excellence dans de nombreux domaines. Par exemple, dans le domaine de l'exploration, les Français ont été à l'avant-garde de l'aérospatiale avec les frères Montgolfier et leur célèbre montgolfière qui a permis à l'homme de s'élever dans les airs. Aujourd'hui, les Français sont toujours à la pointe de la technologie, en particulier dans l'aérospatiale et les transports terrestres, avec entre autres le train à grande vitesse, ou TGV, détenteur du record de vitesse. Nous devons aussi le cinéma à Léon Bouly et la photocouleur aux Frères Lumière. Toutes ces innovations ont permis à beaucoup de Français de traverser les frontières et d'apporter leur esprit de solidarité dans le monde entier via des organisations célèbres comme Médecins Sans Frontières et Emmaüs International. La France est aussi bien connue en médecine avec les découvertes de Louis Pasteur sur les vaccins. Dans le monde des arts, c'est Claude Monet qui a révolutionné la peinture avec l'impressionnisme. On ne peut bien sûr pas parler de la France sans mentionner la haute couture, la gastronomie et le savoir-vivre qui ont fait de ce pays une destination touristique romantique. La France est aussi une terre de paysages variés s'étendant de la côte atlantique jusqu'à la Méditerranée, en passant par le Jura et les Alpes, dont le plus haut sommet, le Mont Blanc avec ses 4808 mètres, est aussi le toit de l'Europe. Au cours de sa tournée mondiale de conférences en 1993 et suite à l'invitation de sincères chercheurs de vérité, Maître suprême Qinghai accepta de se rendre dans cet ancien pays de romances et d'histoires colorées pour partager sa sagesse et sa connaissance de la vérité.
En décembre 2007,
Maître suprême Qinghai est revenu en France pour un séminaire. Nous vous invitons à présent à suivre la discussion suivante entre Maître suprême Qinghai et les membres de notre association intitulée
« L'amour d'un saint pour Dieu ».
C'était à Paris, en France.
We're going to read some of Kabir's poem. Eh? He's talking about the righteous in transcendental state. Talking about the saints, huh? Saints don't give up their saintliness. Though scores of unsaintly they meet, sandalwood dozen is coolness quit. Those snakes emboss the sandal trees. Should I read the whole thing first or one at a time? Ah, read the whole thing first. Enjoy, huh? Okay. One who's dear to God, Kabir says, is from a long distance discerned. He's gaunt, but his heart transcends as if he has quarreled with the world. One who is dear to God, Kabir says, has slender his bodily frame, At night, he lacks sleep and no flesh. His body doth accumulate. Those who are grossly ignorant, they have the pleasant, carefree sleep. When I knew this, till then unknown, I had fallen in calamities. There is intense commotion in the man's mind who has science and knowledge. Without sword, he fights a battle. Awake each morn, he struggles with himself. With eyes wide open, I wonder, but no one came across my sight. In whoever heart my master dwells, how can he remain recondite? I can guess, perhaps. Ignorant or something like that, yeah? I remain indifferent, yeah? Because the master dwells in his heart, yeah? So he cannot remain the same like before, yeah? Whatever it was. Okay, let's go back. Maybe we understand better. Saints don't give up their saintliness, though crores of unsaintly they meet. Sandalwood doesn't quit his coolness, though snakes emboss the sandal trees. Okay. In this sentence, I think the saint Kabir means that even though we live in this world, yeah, we have to deal with a lot of people who are not saintly. They will not lose their saintliness, the true saint, that is. Because every day we have to deal with lots of people, maybe business, maybe relatives, maybe friends, maybe neighbors, maybe just bureaucracy, yeah. But a saintly person will remain always saintly. So that's what I thought, recondite. I mean to remain, you know, indifferent, yeah, preserved, or aloof, or, you know, away from the saintliness, yeah. He likens the saint like sandalwood. Sandalwood never lose its coolness, yeah, even though snakes or other things surrounding the tree, yeah, that's normal, okay? I hope you are this kind of saint. Are you? Yes? Yes. Wow, impressive. Yes. Snakes also represent temptation, yeah. And poisonous atmosphere, yeah? Poisonous thoughts of people as well. Maybe like that, yeah? Mm. Even though we live in such environment, yeah? Meet so many of such people, we remain the same. I think you do. I believe what you said. Because otherwise you wouldn't be here, no? Right? After so many years, how many years we know each other? 15 years. Same, huh? Both of you, huh?
I think it's more than 20 years.
You are 20 years?
Almost.
Almost 20 years.
How long you are married?
Yeah.
33 years.
33 years. And she's still with her husband. Must be a real saint. Never lose her saintliness with her husband. And the husband, of course, respects his wife very much, huh? That's another word for fear, yeah. Never mind. You guys don't laugh with a single person. Don't laugh. Because you don't know what it's like yet. You don't have the right to laugh at all. The more you laugh, the more you cry later. You think it won't happen to me. I'm a big macho. Yeah, I know. Anyway, that is the nature of this world, huh? Once we know someone, yeah, we have to always consider that person. No matter we love or not love, it's like that, yeah. Even if you know a dog or a cat, you have to consider him, yeah? Whether he's okay if you leave him for a while, or you leave him for good, or you know, it's a binding. Any affection relation in this world is really binding. Yeah. Except the saintly ones. Yeah. Like if two person, both are saintly. Yeah. Together practice, then there's no problem. Yeah. Just like the case of Kabir's wife. By the way, nah? You remember the story that a person want to try what devotion is, yeah? And he thinks he's better and all that, so Kabir takes some stones and tell her to fry it in a pan with oil. So she did it immediately. No question asked. No why, but however, you crazy? You wasting oil. Yeah, nowadays you don't do that, okay? Because we are trying to conserve the planet, okay? Maybe you put one drop just to symbolize the devotion and the unconditional obedience of a disciple. Yeah? So for real practitioners, that is a saint, we never change our heart, never change our faith. Because we know through experiences that the way we walk is a right way. Yeah? If you know that you want to go to the south, yeah, and you know your highway is correct, would you change if somebody say something? Or if every other car go in the opposite direction? Would you follow them? Would you follow the mass of the car to go to the north or anywhere else? No, that's correct. You see, this is the same. Same as when you drive the car, you have GPS, you have map, you have chart out your course, yeah, of going where. So no matter how many cars go in any other direction, you just keep your lane, yeah, you keep your highway. That's that. That's good. I'm proud of you. Even if you have not made a big progress, but you are on your way and I'm very happy, okay? It seems that way to me. When you're in samadhi, you know, we have no body, yeah? No body, no feeling, no sensation of the material world at all. That is truly no face, yeah? We are just light. We are just a divine. Divine bliss, which has no form, yeah? No trouble. But most of people, even some initiates, you know, in the beginning, because I give them so free initiation, and they did not cultivate it, you know? Like if you give them a piece of diamond, but he has no eyes for it, so he just throw it out. But it's a pity, huh, for them. People, they're very engrossed in material gain and profit, yeah? And they take care too much of their immediate need, yeah? Either themselves, their own need, or family members' need. And so they are blind to the light of salvation. There was one story about Guru Gobind Singh, yeah? He was talking to his so-called devoted disciples, and he was asking who is the most devoted, yeah, who would really obey him and all that. You know, I mean, blindly, yeah? Die for him and something. Everybody raise hand, okay? And one particular person has been with him a long time, yeah? And particularly show the most enthusiasm. So he asked him to go home, buy him some cloth. Yeah, because he would do it just to buy special cloth, you know. So the disciple said, right away, sir, I bring it in the morning, tomorrow. So he went home and he searched all over town and he found one roll of that kind of cloth that the guru wanted. Mind you, at that time, you give to the guru. Guru doesn't pay you back, okay? So don't think that the guru give him the money to buy it. That would be too easy, yeah? Mostly at that time, everybody contribute to the guru, make offering to the guru, buy everything for the guru, arrange everything for the guru. He's the most princely of all the Sikh gurus, yeah? So that man went to the shop, went to all the bazaars in the city, and finally acquired a roll of beautiful cloth, and brought it home, and intended to give it to the Guru Gobind Singh the next morning. Guru Gobind Singh was the last guru of the Sikh tradition, okay? Yeah. They originally also practiced Kuan Yin method, the method of light and sound, Of course, okay. So now, in India, they worship guru like God, eh? You know that, huh? Whatever he said has to be done. Yeah, no argument. Yeah. And most of the Indian people, they are very, very devoted to their guru, huh? Even die for the guru, that's normal. You know many stories I told already about Guru Gobind Singh and the devotees, yeah? The devoted disciples. They really die for him. Many times he tested, many times they die. No, but he didn't kill them, of course. Just tested, yeah? Okay, now this guy bought the cloth, brought it home, and then what happened? His wife saw it. I said, oh, where did you get such a beautiful cloth and what for? Is that for me, is it? No, of course. So the husband say, no, that's for the guru. He demand this cloth and I look all over for it. And tomorrow I bring it to him. Yeah. So the wife say, no, no, I'm not parting with this cloth because it's beautiful. Just what we need because our family just needs some new clothes for New Year. You're not bringing it anywhere. So the husband said, but this is for the guru. I promised him to bring it tomorrow morning. She said, you could tell him you couldn't find it. Or you go out buy another one for him. He said, no, no, this is the only rose that left. There's no other like this. The one and only. I have to bring it to the guru. But the wife said, you are not going to bring it to the guru, no matter what. You have to tell him that you could not buy it. Or you have not found it yet. Whatever you say, I don't care. I keep this roll of cloth because she loved it so much. It was the most beautiful one. Whoever laid eyes on it, love it, you know, and it's expensive and all that, and it's the one and only. He said, it's the one and only, I cannot buy another. She said, yeah, that is even so much the reason I should keep it. So our neighbors were envious, you know, because the neighbor just had something that we could not have. So now I'm having something else that she won't have. So it will be even. The wife maybe not initiated, huh? I don't think she is initiated, huh? If she is, she wouldn't do that, no? So the wife doesn't let the husband bring the cloth to the guru. Next morning he just come and tell him that he didn't find it. Tell you, any relationship in this world is a kind of binding chain. Yeah, maybe golden chain, maybe silver chain, maybe iron chain. They all chain you, okay? Except, you know, like in this poetry, where the saints, yeah, when they live together, the husband and wife are saying, then no problem at all. And they even help each other, yeah, to elevate to sainthood, higher sainthood. And these are the real marriage. But to have such a marriage is rare, huh? Yeah. Love is to look in the same direction. It is truly like that, nah? Not to look into each other's eyes, huh? So now we go to the next level. One who is dear to God, Kabir says, is from a long distance discerned. He is gaunt, yeah? By his heart transcends, as if he has quarreled with the world. Now, the one who is dear to God, according to Kabir, this guy feels very distant from everything, yeah? From the thing that he talked about up there, you know, like even if the snakes around it, the temptation around him, the poison atmosphere around him, he's like aloof from it, far from all of this. And even though he looked like he likes everything, yeah? A gaunt probably here don't only mean physical, hey, yeah. Maybe also physical, but means he doesn't seem like glittering like everybody else, you know, doesn't show off his wealth or doesn't really dress or smartly, maybe have the greatest car in the world, nothing like that. But in his heart, he's a transcendental person. He's above all that. He's more glorious than the outer appearance, yes. Maybe he's been bound to all these customs and traditions of the world, but in his heart, he's aloof, yeah, above all that. That's, I think, that's what Kabir thinks. He's gone, but his heart transcends as if he has quarreled with the world. Why is that? Why it is as if he has quarreled with the world? Anybody know? He doesn't love the world. But he loves her husband. The thing is, it's not like he dislikes the world or anything. Yeah? Or he hates the world or anything. He just, like oil, doesn't mix with water. No matter how much water overwhelm there, one drop of oil, he just doesn't mix with it. It's just by nature. By nature of the things that oil and water don't mix, yeah? Now, the person who has transcended the worldly attachment, he knows the reality already. So, of course, his heart never attached to anything that is not real, yeah? Okay, for example, before you know your wife, you have her photo. Yeah, I know one guy in Hsinchu, huh? Before he met his wife, there was just somebody in a party, and I gave a photo of a group photo in a party, you know, of his friends with together with some others, not friends, and then he saw her photo only in the group, and he said, "Find me this one." He said to his friend, "Help me to find this girl." And that's how they've been married up to now and have children and stayed together for a long time. So, but after he found his wife or date her or marry her, you think he always keep looking at that photo every day and attach his heart to it? No, maybe he keeps it for souvenir. Yeah, maybe. Just to know that, okay, because of the photo, I know you. Yeah, I love you. Well, first when I saw even just a photo, that's a sentimental souvenir. But he would not sleep with the photo. He would not eat with the photo. He would not kiss the photo all day long, no? You think he would do that? No, no. He knows what is what, yeah? He treasure his wife. He enjoy life with his wife together. The photo he put aside, or in his wallet, or maybe hang on the wall, doesn't matter. But that is not important to him. And if he lost that photo, would he care so much? As long as he has his wife, would he care? No. Maybe if you, oh, sorry, that was the photo of sentiment, yeah? But he would not die over it, no? He would not go all over town to find it. He would not spend all his time, energy, money just to find the photo? To serve the photo? No. Right? He would spend all his time, all his energy, whatever he can, yeah? To please his wife, no? To enjoy with his wife. Yes, that is the reality. The same with the saint. Yeah? He knows God. He knows what's real. So he would depend on his energy, or his time, and all, whatever he can, whenever he can, to devote to God, no? To the reality that he knows. That is like that. So nobody can shake his faith. Eh? Nobody can come and say, "Hey, the photo is what you have. The photo is the best. Remember how you love the photo?" Yeah, you cannot. You cannot just because of this girl, you forsake the photo and neglect the photo. You have to sleep with it, devote all your time for the photo, spend all your money for the photo, frame it very big, you know, put gold on the photo, give flower to the photo every day. Would he do that? No. No matter how many people say, he knows his wife is real, yeah? And the photo is just a replica, just a cause for him to find her. Yeah. Similarly, in this world, every little thing in this world is the reminder for us to find God. Yeah. To see the reality, because the shadow is this. That's how awaken us to want to see the reality. See that? Yeah. We look around, we see beautiful flowers and skies and water, all this beautiful creation, and we think, "Wow, who made this? Yeah. I want to see the one that made this. Yeah." And so we long for God, see? Similarly, no matter what happened, the saints will never leave God for the world. But it doesn't mean that he hates the world. He's just so detached. There's nothing else he can do anymore. After He see his wife, nobody, nothing can make him love that photo and hug that photo all day long anymore, right? He would love his wife only. Yeah, the same. Once we know God, we don't love anything else. We don't hate anything else, but we just suddenly cut. Yeah? We cut the attachment to anything else in this world because we know the real world. That's all there is. Not because Master tell you to do that. Not because your brother and sister tell you to do that. Not because fear of your wife or anything. Or fear of hell even. Not even that. Because you don't fear hell anymore. You don't care what. And you know God already and you're happy. That is just the nature of things. Yeah. No matter what I tell you, you just do it, yeah? And the ones who neglect God, eh? Who doesn't take time to find God, of course would not love God, and then come back to love the world, or not love the world, or just slave to the world, or not. For example, maybe he saw the photo. He said, wow, this is a beautiful girl. I want her. But then he couldn't care less, you know, whether he find her or not, yeah? And then he got distracted, and maybe he likes another girl, you know, of the lesser beauty or lesser virtue. And then he got entangled in it, in that relationship. So when his friend find the girl that he loved in the beginning, he's already so distracted and so attached and so bound to the other relationship that he could not get out. He's too busy with that, and he's too bound, yeah? Too much binding from the other girl. That even though he still wants to see the woman in that photo, he don't have any more time. He doesn't have any more energy. He has no more courage because the other wife will nip him. Or maybe starve him for many days or lock him in a room, who knows. Or beat him up even. 3 days he couldn't see her. Until the 4 days. See a little bit from the corner, swollen eyes. So you see what I mean? Yeah. If we don't take time to find God and put God before everything else, then even when we find God, we are too distracted, yeah? Too preoccupied, too bounded to even come to God. If he didn't put all his attention to find the girl in the photo that he wants, he might be distracted and bound with another girl, and then he could never find happiness with the girl in the photo because he neglected her already, and now he's gone, he's finished, he's in prison, yeah, of another relationship, something like that. Of course, he still can. If he's courageous, he can break away from that, but most people don't have enough energy and courage to break away from an entangled relationship. Well, that's why many men or women have two relations, eh? And just juggle, you know, back and forth between both of them and feeling very miserable, like you don't have any wife at all. If you have two wives, mean you have no wife. Too much worry. Have to hide in, you know, have to tell lies and all that. What a life is that, yeah? In Vietnam, we have a saying. It say that một vợ thì nằm giường lèo, hai vợ thì nằm chuồng heo, ba vợ thì nằm chèo queo một mình. It means if you have one wife, then you sleep on a silky bed with her, of course, na? And she takes care of you, and your bed is made with silk bedcloth, na? But if you have two wives, then you go out sleep in the pig style. And if you have three wives, that's it, you sleep all alone. All by yourself, I don't care where. Maybe not even a pigsty to cover rain and sun. Maybe you just live on the street somewhere with your belonging together, you know? Like homeless. You know, when you come home, you suddenly saw your belonging all on the street. And your wife stand on top of the balcony and say, that's yours, go. And she changed all the locks, and you could not get in anymore. Or she even moved to another town next day, yeah? Well, it happened, no? If you buy the house and in all in her names, yeah? All the bank accounts all in her names, or even joint names, yeah? She can sell it behind you, yeah? And all the joint accounts, she can take all the money out and say yonara to all of that. You say yonara. When you have no bank account, no house, what else you have? Huh? Nothing. And wife, kids gone somewhere else you could never find. Now we come to the next stanza. One who is dear to God, says Kabir, has slender his bodily frame. At night he lacks sleep and no flesh. His body does accumulate. Okay, the no flesh come with his body. Okay, so the one who really loves God doesn't sleep at night, yeah. Doesn't eat any meat, yeah. Consume little food or just simple food. So Kabir say that his body will become slender, yeah, skinnier, yeah. And at night he doesn't sleep at all also. Therefore, his body have no flesh, not a lot of fat on his body.
European Parliament supports reducing meat to lower greenhouse gases.
Call vote. Vote is now open.
Reduce your meat consumption or stop eating meat totally.
During discussions on greenhouse gas reduction goals, the Climate Committee of the European Parliament officially recognized livestock's contribution to global warming and recommended a reduction of subsidies to the livestock industry to curb methane.
My name is Jens Holm. I'm a member of the European Parliament. Please, be veg, go green, save the planet.
Maybe he's talking about younger person. The one who has discipline, huh? And want to show off the figure to the world or the husband or something. When you age, and then the body metabolism also slow down. Mechanism also slow down. Everything slow down, huh? It's good for meditation. So if you're young and you feel too itchy, while you're meditating, don't worry. When you get old, you will. You will meditate. When all the beautiful girls don't look at you anymore, when all the handsome guys left you alone, then there's a time for meditation. At least, no? But don't wait until then. Do a little bit slowly meditating now, at least, yeah? Yeah. To earn a little money, better than no money, huh? Yeah, to earn a little meditation knowledge better than nothing. Don't wait until you're old and earn a lot, and that time you're already almost gone. That's probably in India. In India, there is a philosophy like this. When you're young, you study, yeah? And the middle age, your life divided into three parts, yeah? The first part is to study. That's when you're young, yeah? To study and accumulate knowledge, yeah? Of the world or of spiritual knowledge. And then in the middle part of your life is to have family, to discharge your duty to your families and nation. Yeah. And the third part of it, after your kids grown up and business established and you have enough finance, then you renounce the world. So most of the monks in India, they renounce the world after that period, at the philosophy. But actually, in the old time, it's supposed to be not to renounce, like become a monk like that, you know, in clothes, in appearance. It's just like, okay, you're young, you study, huh? And then when you are middle of your life, you get married or not get married, make a business and to take care of your family, yeah? And maybe your parents or something. And then after that, you have enough, yeah? And then you can devote your time to be in an ashram or with master, something like that. That's what they meant. It's not like you have to be a monk and shave your head or wear the saffron robe or anything like that. Because when you're older already, what for rolling in the dirt of the world anymore? You have enough money, you could go and be more quiet, yeah? And devote more time for meditation. And that's very wise.
C'est un honneur de vous avoir parmi nous aujourd'hui dans Paroles de Sagesse. À suivre, c'est musique et poésie sur Supreme Master Television. Tout de suite, après les nouvelles d'exception, alors restez avec nous. Puissent les bénédictions du paradis bénir chaque jour de votre vie. We are honored to have you with us today on Words of Wisdom. Coming up next is music and poetry on Supreme Master Television, right after Noteworthy News. Please stay tuned. May heaven's blessing grace your life each and every day.